Get the latest from the Hay House offices in London. Welcome to Spotlight Hay House UK.
Hello there and a very warm welcome. Wherever you're listening around the world, thank you for listening to Spotlight Hay House UK with Dr. Manish Usri, best-selling Hay House author of Discover Your Hidden Memory and Find the Real You, and founder of The Essence Process alongside myself, Ben Brophy. In today's show, Dr. Manish Usri is going to be taking your calls and talking about how to let go of guilt and resentment. So is there anything that you feel guilty about, or do you resent someone, or would you like to be free of that feeling? If you get a pen and paper, I'll be giving you a number to call in just a moment. So if you'd like the opportunity to speak one-on-one with world-leading expert Dr. Manish Usri, please call toll-free within US and Canada, 866-254-1579. That's 866-254-1579. Or from outside the US and Canada, it's 001-760-918-4300. That's 001-760-918-4300. And I'll be giving that number again in just a moment. So if you didn't get that, just grab yourself a pen and paper. So what I'd also like to emphasise is that everyone who calls in and speaks with Dr. Usri today will be awarded a free place on his Essence Process course, which is regarded as a world-leading course around the world. So every person who calls in and speaks with Dr. Usri on the topics of guilt and resentment will be rewarded sort of a credit for any course, the next forthcoming in London being on the 21st to 23rd of June. So finally, just before we get in with Dr. Usri, the number to call and speak with him one-on-one is toll-free in the States, 866-254-1579, or outside the States is 001-760-918-4300. And you can find those numbers, if you didn't get them, on the Listen Live player at hayhouseradio.com. So, Dr. Usri, this weekend on your Essence course, I heard you talking about guilt and resentment. And through feedback, it's evident that over the years, it's given many thousands of people a very different interpretation and understanding of these topics. Would you mind explaining, sort of, for our listeners around the world, can you please explain, sort of, to the listeners your perspective on guilt and resentment and the relationship between the two? Are they connected?
Yes, absolutely connected. I am so grateful to be able to talk on the Hay House Radio, and I'm really grateful that I had this opportunity to share what I know to support anyone who's at this stage in their life. Guilt and resentment taking a lot of energy from them. Really, we have some misunderstanding about what really guilt is. Guilt is, to me, is a desire to punish ourselves for something we have done to somebody else. So if I punish myself for something I have done to somebody else, that means I will not benefit and that person will not benefit at all. So guilt is like high expectations directed to me. There's a big connection between guilt and resentment, because resentment is high expectation directed to other people. So this is the connection between both. Guilt says, I should be better than that. I should be perfect. I should be kind. I should. It's like shooting in myself. Resentment is exactly the same energy, but directed to another person. You should be like that. You should be like that. You should be like that. So we have the word expectations, really a powerful word that connect guilt and resentment and all the energy that is wasted, suffering, in fact. So if I have very high expectations of myself, it's very likely that I would feel guilty. High expectation means I should be better than that. And sometimes I think it's impossible for me to match my high expectations. And my high expectations came from the pressure that was put on me to be something that I could never be. And if I have high expectations of myself, it is very likely I will have high expectations of other people too. And I do the same thing that I do to myself to other people. So this word expectation is critical in the area of guilt and resentment. Again, guilt and resentment are very connected, because we can resent people and then feel guilty about resenting them, and then we'll start resenting them again. So it is like a vicious cycle that we live in all the time. And the waste of energy and time we spend on guilt is tremendous. And I heard and I experienced it, and I've seen it with a lot of people I work with, that if you want to succeed in life, one of the major obstacles you're going to face is if you feel guilty. And that will always hold you back and block your success in your life.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Usri. So before we go into, we've already got calls coming in, which is fantastic. And just to reiterate, anyone who calls, if you want to get the number, just go to heyhouseradio.com and on the Listen Live play, you'll get the phone numbers. And everyone who calls and speaks with Dr. Usri will be rewarded with a free place on one of his courses around the world. But in your course, you draw a diagram, but would you mind just explaining sort of the difference between action and image? And
Of course. When I say expectations, it means that I have expectation of myself to be, for example, an honest person. And at the same time, I made an action, I lied to someone. Our brain cannot live in contradiction. So that at this stage, I am lying, and at the same time, I think I'm honest. So I'm going to be very confused. If I feel guilty, guilt will allow me to keep lying and keep thinking I'm honest. That means guilt will hold us back. And if I want to get rid of my guilt, I have to change my image about myself or stop lying. And I use a wonderful example. If I've taken money from someone and I don't want to give it back to them, I feel guilty. That means if I feel guilty, it's stopping me for correcting my action. That means guilt actually is cheaper than taking responsibility of our lives. Yeah. If somebody is calling, I see some calls coming in. In order to heal and feel better about an issue that we feel guilty about in our lives, it is better to understand the idea first. Before you go into something very, very heavy in your life, that your emotion has taken you over. And if you understand the dynamic of guilt clearly, then you can apply it to an emotional issue. Because when we have heavy emotional issue, it blocks our understanding because we're very affected by it. And I really understand many of us have really suffered from many things that happened to us. And we feel terribly guilty about decisions we made, actions we took in our lives. And really bear that in mind if you want to ask questions. I'm very happy to hear from you.
Okay, well, let's move straight into the calls. So,
sure.
Number of people coming through, but we'll go over to line two, Cindy in Pennsylvania. So, Cindy, if you'd like to pose your question to Dr. Usri, please. Hello, Cindy.
Yes.
Hi there, Cindy. Yes,
hi.
You're live. So, please speak with Dr. Usri.
Yes, hi. This is Cindy from Pennsylvania.
Hi,
and
Cindy.
I was talking to the lady. I have two separate issues going on.
Sure.
I have been listening to Hay House, and I understand releasing and letting go and all of that. I was married for 33 years and have a husband who was cheating on me, and I didn't know it. And, you know, I get that I have to accept whatever it is that I contributed to this and not knowing and blah. But now we recently have a son. While I'm going through all of this, a son who is now addicted to heroin.
Right.
And I cannot tell you. I mean, I'm shattered.
Yes.
And as I say that, I am comparing myself to my friends who have kids that are interviewing at Shearson Lehman. And here I have a kid who's unlucky if he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how to release some of this frustration. I don't know. Resentment, guilt. I don't know. The whole thing.
Yeah, I understand. I am really sorry that this happened to you. I'm really sorry.
Well, it's not me, it's him. I mean, it's poor kid.
I know, but
him.
But as a mother, you're suffering, I'm sure, from the way you speak. And I want to pick up on something you said. You said, I have to accept. I have to accept. Is this what you said to me earlier?
Yes.
I have to accept. You're forcing yourself to accept. That means you have high expectations on yourself that you have to accept.
Yes.
You see? And now you are actually punishing yourself even more.
Yes.
You know? This situation is not very easy, and I understand for a parent to feel their son or daughter are suffering is tremendous, absolutely tremendous. First of all, you start with your relationship with your partner. If you cannot accept what he did, you don't have to push yourself to accept. First of all, you need to work on yourself in such a way that see what happened as a tremendous experience for you.
Yes.
You see? And the situation is an invitation for you to be kinder to yourself as much as you possibly can. You may have, now you're comparing yourself with other parents. You have expectations that you are a good mother, and good mothers don't have a child who addicted to heroin.
Yes.
So you have high expectations. So your guilt coming in from the fact that you're really hurting yourself by, you should be a better mother. You should have saved your son. The way you're punishing yourself now, and the pain you're feeling, do you know, I'm not going to say it's contributing to your son's condition, but you are living in pain, and it is possible that your child felt your pain, and he doesn't want to feel it.
No, that's exactly right.
You see? And he actually feeling your pain, and it's too much for him. And he's the father's pain too. So when people are addicted to anything, they won't stop themselves feeling anymore.
Yes, exactly.
So now, the best thing for you to do is to be as kind to yourself as possible. And I really want to remind you, you have not caused your son's condition. Neither his father. But this is a dynamic that happened in your family and relationship. Unfortunately, your son is suffering for it. So now, we don't need to fight a war with war.
Right.
So if you keep hurting and punishing yourself, your son is hurting even more. So how about being as kind to yourself as possible and reduce the expectation you have on yourself? You should have been a good mother. You should have been careful. You should. Let that go and see what happens.
Okay.
To be honest, I don't think you have many options.
No, I have no options.
Yeah.
There is nothing else for me to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I am a human being, and I have parents like you and everything. I was a parent before, and my children are grown up now. And I really understand when it comes to parents and children, this is the thing that hurts us the most, more than anything in the world.
That's right.
So I really understand that. And I understand it's very difficult by just talking to remove all these feelings that have been accumulated for years. But do your very best, as much as you possibly can, to be okay with you and show your son how peaceful you have become, even about him, and see what happens.
Okay.
I'm very grateful for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you ever so much for calling in there, Cindy. So we'll be going over to Dee in just a moment, but just to reiterate, you're listening to Dr. Manish Usri, best-selling Hay House author of Discover Your Hidden Memory and Find Real You, and the creator of The Essence Process. So we're taking live calls, and if you'd like to speak one-on-one with Dr. Usri, the phone number to call is, within the States and Canada, 866-254-1579. That's 866-254-1579, and within US and Canada, 00760-918-4300, and you can find those on the HayHouseRadio.com live player if you're listening live via Hay House Radio. So we're going to go across now to Dee, who's having issues with her sister-in-law. So Dee, if you'd like to speak to Dr. Manish Usri, please, and ask a question.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a very tense relationship with my sister-in-law, and she lives with me, and I feel like no matter how hard I try to convince myself to make peace with her, a part of me reverts back to resenting her. And
right.
This has been an ongoing issue, which I just can't seem to resolve. So I'm not really sure, what the root of it is. Possibly when I was ill, I felt like I didn't have her support. I'm not really sure. I try to convince myself, and I keep going round in circles. I was hoping you could help me.
Okay. And so you, I think there's two things going on here. We can talk about resentment and look at the strategies that you can do. There's also a different level going on about the dynamic in the relationship between your partner and his sister. If we talk from a very cognitive perspective only, without going to these dynamics that are going on in the family, first of all, you may have very high expectations that when you needed support, she should be able to give you support, but she couldn't. or she didn't for any reason. And because of your expectations, your resentment is much higher. And there's another thing to look at is your sister-in-law doing something that's bothering you, that a part of you does the same thing sometimes? Or not?
I would say so, yes. There's a possibility. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is a difficult one, and if you say yes and you're able to say yes, that means you're on your way to actually heal it, because often when we resent people, part of us is doing something similar that we really don't like about ourselves, and we don't want to see. So we often project to them because it's difficult for us to, because we really want to be a good people. We don't want to hurt anybody. So somebody outside that does something that we don't like, it makes our resentment much higher and much bigger.
That's so right.
And if you can talk to her and tell her, you know, there is a part of me just like you, and I want to feel good about myself, and I want to heal that in me, and I saw part of that in you, and that might heal the relationship you have together. This is a level of looking at it. There's another level, obviously, about the emotions and interaction, the dynamic between the three of you and her connection to her brother and with you. And this is another area that needs more discussion, conversation about the hierarchy in the family, the priority, who came first, who didn't, whether he's making decisions to prefer her or you. And this is something it needs more time and work. But you can start with the first part that I discussed with you. That might be very helpful at this stage.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Just stay on the line so we can get your details, and we'll give you a credit for a course at any time on the Essence process, okay? Okay, thanks. So you're listening to Hay House Spotlight UK with Dr. Manish Usri, author of Discover Your Hidden Memory and Find the Real You. And the founder of the Essence Process, and talking about expectations and resentments and guilt. In the course, and I've just been with you sort of over in Eastern Europe this weekend, Dr. Usri, would you mind, actually, I think it'd be helpful for people, can you just sort of explain the process of resentment, and you draw a diagram, but I think you can explain it without having to draw the diagram.
Sure. I think the last caller helped us a lot to make this point. When I resent someone, because I expect the person to do something, and then their action is very different. So now I see contradiction in front of me. I expect that person to be honest, kind, and their action is not honest and kind. I mean, the last caller was a very good call to help us to make this point. So how can I resolve the resentment inside of me? Lower my expectations? This is the only thing I can do, because we cannot really change people's action. Obviously, having said that, there are ways to change people's action. First of all, our expectations is a belief about how people should be like. And our beliefs are stronger than reality. So our beliefs not necessarily correct.
Just picking up on that, would you mind? Because I think it's something that's worth emphasizing. Sure. Can you just talk about that sort of beliefs being stronger than reality?
Sure.
Because you mentioned that, but that is actually something that's very important. So.
I mean, this is a huge area, of course, and that is every one of us, the first few years of life, have been programmed and learned things from our parents, our culture, our friends, our experiences, and especially the first 6 years of life. Mm-hmm. And this program came in, everybody knows these things by now, it's a common knowledge in our subconscious mind. And we don't remember them anymore, but they are operating in our consciousness all the time. So I have an expectation, a relative must be kind and serving me when I'm not well. Because I have seen that in my family and I learned that. Then I grow up and I see a relative around me and they don't do the same thing. So I start resenting them straight away because I believed they should be helpful when I needed them. And actually, not everybody is helpful when we need them. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of connected to what you've heard from the last caller. And so my options are to change my expectations. In order to change my expectation, I need to change my beliefs. And this is not very easy to do. And it comes from working ourselves in a very deep way. Also, we can change the way we look at people because this is very important what I'm going to say now. The way we look at people, they can conform to what we want them to be. So if I see someone as not helpful, challenging, and difficult, that person can feel what the way we see them. So if you have somebody living with you, close to you, if you continuously see them as difficult people, they may likely to become difficult, at least in your eyes. And when they behave around you, you will only focus on the negative things they do, and they actually, energetically, they actually might do more of it. And I heard one of the greatest speakers once before, I think probably Wayne Dyer or someone, said if you change the way you look at things, what you look at changes, which is very powerful, of course. And this is something we can also learn. And, you know, there is many sides to every person. And which side would you prefer to look at? I've had this challenge all my life with people around me. When I start focusing on the negative side of them, they do it more, in fact. They don't do it intentionally more. You mean, watch a mother with a child. The mother asks the child, bring me a glass of water or something. And the child will go and bring it. And if the mother keep looking at the child in such a way that the child always break things and drop things and tell the child, I know if you carry it like this, you're going to drop it, the child will drop it, of course. You see? So people can change us in a very strange way, and we can change them. So it takes a lot of work on oneself to begin to look at people in a different way as well. And this is another level of resentment. I also want to add that when we resent people, we hurt more than they do. I heard a very beautiful quote that resentment is like a drinking poison trying to kill somebody else. You know, and again, even though we suffer a lot from resentment, and I think the area of health and illnesses are a very big area, of course, and I don't want anybody to hear what I'm saying as 100% accurate and true, because there is no clear evidence, but most illness are the manifestation of our thoughts, I don't have any clear facts about this, but if I am resenting somebody all the time, my thoughts are very negative and very hurtful, and they may manifest in my body in different ways. So I may feel not well or sick if I keep doing this all the time. Of course, I'm going to be living in negativity. And again, you know, we're talking about emotions, we're talking about feelings, and now I'm saying things in words. So what I'm saying is a lot of reflection and a lot of thinking, a lot of connection with people and feeling the interaction we have with them, so we can actually make sense of the things I'm saying much more.
Okay, well, thanks so much for that, Dr. Manish Usery.
You're
so
welcome.
You're listening to Spotlight Hay House UK with Dr. Manish Usery, a best-selling Hay House author of Discover Your Hidden Memory and Find the Real You, and founder of The Essence Process. So we're about to go into a commercial break, but we'll be back on the other side. So today, Dr. Manish Usery is talking about guilt and resentment. So if you'd like to speak one-on-one with him, then please call in on 866-254-1579. That's 866-254-1579 within US and Canada, or for anywhere around the world outside of US and Canada, it's 001-760-918-4300. That's 001-760-918-4300. And if you didn't get those, then you can go to hayhouseradio.com, and the numbers are on the live player to listen live. So also, anyone who calls in and speaks directly with Dr. Usery will be gifted a free space on any forthcoming Essence Process course around the world, which takes place every week. So just before we go into the advert break, Manish, Dr. Usery, is there anything that you'd like to sort of add from this first section?
Yes. I just want to thank the last two callers, because they shared something very sensitive and important and helpful for other people. And I want to repeat something really important, that there's many dimensions to guilt and resentment, and it's one really important one. You know, guilt keep us smaller and not strong, and it's a major, major obstacle to how we achieve things in life. And as long as I feel guilty, it'd be very difficult for me to actually succeed. And this is a big issue that we need to think about very carefully in our lives.
Okay, so thank you for listening to Spotlight Hay House UK with myself, Ben Brophy, and Dr. Manish Yousry, founder of The Essence Process and best-selling Hay House author. We'll see you in 5 minutes on the other side. Thank you for listening.
Get the latest from the Hay House offices in London. Welcome to Spotlight Hay House UK.
Hello there and a very warm welcome to you wherever you are around the world and whatever time it is, whether you're listening to this live or on replay, you're listening to Spotlight Hay House UK, and we're talking with Dr. Manish Yousry on the topics of guilt and resentment. So if you'd like to call in one-on-one and speak to a world-leading authority, the founder of The Essence Process and best-selling Hay House author, the phone number is 866-254-1579 within the US and Canada, or anywhere else around the world, it's 001-760-918-4300. And if you'd like to get those numbers, just go to hayhouseradio.com, listen live, and you'll see the numbers on the player. So, Dr. Yousry, just before the break, we're talking about guilt and resentment, but could you remind listeners, please, how they can potentially minimize or actually relieve guilt?
Okay. I need to start from a bigger picture. I come from a culture that people have a belief, if you feel guilty, you're a good person. And a lot of people here feel guilty. So my culture promotes guilt indirectly. Mm. And there's a belief around that if I'm guilty, I'm good. Mm. And as I explained before, and I talked about it in the first part of the program, it's very unlikely to succeed if I'm feeling very guilty. So we have three options to do to support us to relieve the feeling of guilt. One is to change the action that we have done that caused our guilt. In some cases, it is not possible to change the action, in some cases. In other cases, you can. If I hurt somebody, I can go and tell them I'm sorry, I apologize. Or I can do something to compensate, but not out of fear, out of love and consideration for that person. There's another option, of course, is to change the image about myself and have more compassion for me, like one of the callers that had called. And then we have a third option as well. The third option is to forgive ourselves for the mistakes we have made. If you go back to your past, you'll discover that you made many decisions. You think now at this point in your life, your bad decisions and you're suffering from that. But at the time, you may want to consider this. At the time, you probably made the best decision you could. But maybe now, this decision to you sound bad or not good, and that's why you feel guilty about it. So I would like the listener and me and everybody I know to look back in our lives and the word I use sounds very strange, to have mercy on ourselves and forgive ourselves because we did the best we could at the time.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, those are some potential sort of strategies that people can use.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll be talking about resentment in a moment, but we've got sure. Michelle in California. So, Michelle, if you'd like, you're live, if you'd like to pose your question to Dr. Yousry, please.
Well, you actually just covered it because I just have a lot of self-guilt. I feel responsible for a lot of things, and I just beat myself up for it. And I just, I just stopped, and I just was wondering how to do that. But you kind of went over that.
Yeah. So you answered the question before you asked.
Yes.
Just let me remind you of something. You know, the most important thing in my life is to do my very best to learn to be kind to myself. Hmm. And maybe we need to be reminded of this all the time because we forget. When we are children and brought up, most of us got more negative feedback than positive feedback. A lot of us were criticized a lot in our lives. And we learned that we criticize ourselves much more than we appreciate ourselves. It is a habit that we give ourselves a hard time. So I would like to remind you, as much as you possibly can, even if you write it in a piece of paper and carry it with you, to be kind with you, to yourself. And in case if you couldn't do it, I also want to remind you, anything in life comes by training. So if you can train yourself, until one day it becomes a new habit that you'll be much kinder to yourself. In fact, your comment and question, it's so important. Even though it sounds very simple, yes, be kind to yourself, but I would like to remind myself and you and everybody else to even practice this on a daily basis.
I will.
Thank you very much for your call.
Is there anything else that you'd like to ask, Dr. Yusri Michelle?
Well, actually, I also have a lot of self-resentment as well, but I think it's just from high expectations of others. So, like you were saying earlier as well, you answered that.
Yes.
Dr. Yusri preempted you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, stay on the line, Michelle, and we'll take your details and we'll give you a space on the Essence Process course. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks so much. So, you just mentioned some strategies about guilt, Dr. Yusri. Yeah. Would you mind just sharing some ways that listeners could potentially relieve or minimize resentments?
Of course. You know, there's a lot of similarity between both. Mm. Guilt is directed to me, resentment directed to others.
Mm. And just to clarify, that's when somebody's, or in the issues of guilt, is when our actions don't match up with the image that we have of ourselves.
Of course.
And resentment, when it's the action, is different to the image we hold of somebody else.
Absolutely. You said it very well. They're both very connected, you see. It's the same dynamic exactly, but not the same solutions. Mm. They're different. And with guilt, we have three options. Mm. Change the image, change the action, and forgive ourselves. Unfortunately, with resentment, we have much less options. Because really, every time, any moment in our life, we have no control over anything but ourselves. So it is really difficult to change people's action, obviously. So with resentment, we need to work very hard on our expectation of how people should be like. And I'm just saying it very slowly.
Would you like to reiterate that a little bit? Because that's actually sort of, it's quite a profound statement, but obviously myself included, I know sort of so many times once I sort of control, whether it's other people or the way people do things.
Of course, major areas in resentment is to do with our parents, children and partners, because these people are so close to us.
It's always the way that people closest to us.
And if anybody here listening and here or have some kind of resentment toward their parents, because really we have a belief that our parents should be kind, loving, they should give us many things we wanted, they should spend more time with us. But you know, when you hear this, I would like you to think in a different way about our relationship with our parents. This is a belief. Our parents may have a difficult life and were not capable of spending too much time with us. So if I have expectation to see them a certain way and they do not match my expectation, I will resent them. And I resent them for something that they cannot do. They're actually not capable of doing. You know, and this is something to really think about. And again, with our partners, for example, and this gets in very, very sensitive, obviously, because in couple relationships, we have very high expectations of each other. We want our partner to perform a certain way, and we have an idea. And you know, we have lots of films, books, fairy stories, and we see these wonderful love stories, and it raises our expectations, and this brings us to a very sensitive time, because the area of relationship is the most misunderstood area in our time nowadays. And just imagine, if you're hearing this, that you have a partner who with you and has no expectations of you whatsoever. Just imagine for a moment, how would you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You would feel amazing.
Mm-hmm. And totally accepted.
Totally. And imagine if you don't expect anything from your partner and they give you things, you feel amazing. Because the best things in life, when they come, when you don't plan, want them so much and need them so much. So we have this amazing expectation of the people. How about lowering our expectations?
So what would you say to somebody who says that lowering your expectations may actually be lowering your standards, and it's actually good to have, you know, high, everyone, it will be different for different people, but so somebody says, well, why do I not want to have expectations, because then I'm settling for anything?
This is a fantastic question, actually, because you're entitled to ask your partner and people for anything you want, the best standard you want. But when you ask them, if you ask without expectations, it is very likely you can get what you want. But when we ask people deep in our heart and soul, we expect in people, they must give us what we want.
It's conditional.
Absolutely. So people feel the pressure in our voice, in our interaction,
in the energy.
Even energy and the way we look at them. And you know, if somebody demands something from you, it's very likely that you have resistance to give it to them. And if somebody asks you with no expectations whatsoever, it is very likely that you want to give them even more. And this is one of the amazing things in human communication, especially in relationships.
So it's easy, surely easier said than done, but how does somebody go about that? How is it just as easy? How do you wipe the slate and say, okay, well, my expectations have gone from up here and they're now down here?
Yes, I know. You see, we talk on the radio in words, and most of these things I'm talking about, we deal with it in the course in a very experiential way.
Of course, and that's what makes it very unique.
Yes, because, you know, most learning comes from experience. In fact, almost 90% of learning comes from experience. Almost only 5% come from words and intellectual understanding. So, but we have to start somewhere, like our conversation now.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, just picking up on what you were just saying and offering some strategies. When you talked about guilt, you mentioned forgiveness, but I noticed that you didn't when you talked about resentment. Why exactly was that? Can you just clarify why that was?
Sure, sure. You see, the area of forgiveness is a very big area. And I start again like the same way I started with guilt. I come from a culture, and probably over the world at the moment, that if you are a forgiving person, you're a good person. And everybody forgives. Now, let's talk about it a little more in much more details. And anybody listening to this program, check deep in your heart and soul. How many times you've forgiven a person, but deep in your heart and soul, still angry with them? Now, maybe it's semantic or language that confuses the issue. And please, I don't want to be misunderstood. If you listen to this program and forgiving people, it works for you, do not stop it. I just want to give you a different take and perspective on the idea. The moment you forgive a person, it is the same moment when you judge them. Why would you forgive someone if you don't judge them? You see? So that means forgiveness is actually like a judgment in itself. I learned this because in my culture, a lot of people live in the countryside and you have a lot of wisdom. And I used to hear old people saying, talking, if you hurt any one of them, they never say to you, I forgive you. They say something different. They always say, God forgives you. And that made me think, why do they say God forgives you? Why didn't they say, I forgive you? Then I thought about it and I worked with a lot of people and I heard and learned things. And I realized when couple in relationships, if one person hurt the other, did something, if the other person say to that person, I forgive you, that means the person who forgives become the good one and the person who's forgiven become the bad one.
They've elevated themselves.
Of course. And also, the one who forgives becomes superior, and the level in the relationship imbalanced. This imbalance. It is better, maybe, to use the word acceptance. It might be easier. It actually is more respectful. Because if somebody hurt me, I said, I forgive you, I'm telling them, now, you know, I am bigger than you, and you're small. And there's another dimension to forgiveness, which is even more complicated, if you like.
Can we go there?
Yes, of course. I know forgiveness is a wonderful word, and I know it heals, and I know it's really release us from resenting people, of course. And again, if it works, keep doing it. I prefer to do something else because I have noticed in my life when people hurt me and I forgive them, there was a part of me avoiding conflict. And I was avoiding tell this people, what you have done, it didn't work for me. See, without expectations again. Because if somebody hurt you, upset you, you can easily say to them, actually, what you have done, it didn't work for me, and I still accept you as you are. But if you say to people, I forgive you, it's very likely that the people, that person, can do it again to you. Of course, because you made life very easy, and you are not authentic as well. Again, I repeat for the last time, if forgiveness means to you acceptance, it is fine. So I mentioned this because when I worked with couples a lot, I have noticed when things went wrong, the person who is forgiving always leaves the relationship because they feel very small, and they feel inferior, and they feel in this relationship they always have to pay back somehow, and they're not able to pay it because they were forgiven from what they have done. Okay. Now, this very sensitive area, it touches on cultures, religions, beliefs, many, many things. Mm-hmm. You see, it could be even just in the semantics, in the words mm-hmm. as well.
The That's why between forgiveness even and acceptance.
Absolutely. Yeah. They may be even the same.
Maybe.
And this is why I didn't mention option in the resentment of people, you see.
In case you're listening to Spotlight, Hay House UK. You're listening to best-selling author Dr. Manish Usery, founder of The Essence Process. And just to give you an idea, if you're not familiar with Dr. Manish Usery, he runs courses all around the world every single week, sort of serving thousands of people, but was also one of the NHS's top practitioners and trainers for many years, and is well-respected around the world. So his best-selling book, Discover Your Hidden Memory and Find the Real You, is available on Amazon and through Hay House. And we're talking today about guilt and resentment. And if you'd like to call, the phone number is, within the States, it's toll-free. It's 866-254-1579. And outside of the States in Canada, it's 001-760-918-4300. And you can find those numbers on hayhouseradio.com if you look at the player. So, Dr. Usery, can you just talk a little bit more about guilt, please? Can we just delve into that a bit more, please?
Yes. So far, I have talked about strategies and ideas about guilt. Mm. There's another meaning of guilt, mm-hmm. which is very difficult for us that we do not see. The sense of belonging to a group is very powerful because it's connected to our sense of survival. And every group of people who live together, or culture, or a country, or a small town, they are very connected. Mm. And if I leave my group, I am risking of being alone and not belong. So if I decided one day to do something different than what the group is doing, for example, if there's a, say, small village, people married for life, nobody divorced. And for example, suddenly a woman or a man decided to leave their partner, they're going to feel very guilty, because guilt will keep them back in the group. And because the sense of belonging is very powerful, you see, so guilt serves a big purpose. It allows the person to actually stay connected to the group so they can survive. And people who can overcome this power of guilt and stand up and divert from the group, yes, eventually they actually can move the group with them. Mm. And this is the people in the world that actually gave us amazing insights and ideas and revelations. But they also had the power to stand up against guilt. And as I'm talking now, I'm realizing the guilt is a very powerful force. And actually, it helps us to grow as well if we can actually handle it and be strong enough to stand up against the guilt that we feel inside ourselves. Going back to what we started in the conversation, that guilt is major block to success. And there have been many people in history, you know, that stood up against many people, against groups, against people, and they gave us wonderful gifts in the world, you know. And when we succeed in life or go for our dreams or goals, there's always going to be someone who doesn't like it. Mm. There's also going to be a group of people who fight with us. Always going to be a group of people who disagree with us. And if we feel guilty about that, we stay with them, we stay small. Mm. But after we experience guilt and overcome it, we become very big and much stronger, and we can achieve much more in life.
So for any listeners who've actually just joined within sort of the last 10 or 15 minutes, could you just very quickly just summarise what the three strategies for somebody that can quickly, if they want to relieve some of the guilt, please, again?
Yeah, thank you. With guilt...
Because we're coming into the last sort of 5 minutes, so just in summary.
If we feel guilty, we have three options to help us to relieve the feelings. Is to change our action, change the image we have about ourselves, or forgive ourselves. When I say forgive ourselves, we've got to be very careful. We don't keep doing the same thing and keep forgiving ourselves. You see, because some people do it as a game. They keep taking action that...
gets them off the hook, effectively, in their own mind.
Yeah, and they learn forgiveness, and they go around telling people, I've forgiven myself, I've forgiven myself. They become addicted. Addicted to doing the wrong things and addicted to. And you know, guilt also has a dimension that it divides the world into two. This is good and bad. So there are actually not really bad, but guilt show us they should be bad. You see?
Big subject. We've got a few minutes, but can you just touch on that a little bit more then, just on that sort of dividing the world?
Yes, you know, guilt tells us this is good and this is bad. And you know, I read some statistics that the average person lies 6 times a day. Actually, and many of us think we have to be honest, and we tell our kids, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, and the kids sometimes have to lie. So we teach them to feel guilty because we train them. If you lie, it's very, very bad. I'm not here agreeing.
<You're> not advocating.
Yes. I'm not saying lying is great, but I'm saying there are occasions in life when people lie naturally. The best lie, many people say, is this. You ask them, how are you? Say, I'm fine. This is considered a lie.
Full smile on their
yes,
face.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So guilt divide our world. This is good and this is bad. Going back to the last strategy for resentment, it is better strategy to reduce your expectations. And there's a wonderful sentence I will end up with is, expectations is a resentment waiting to happen. And if you ever resented somebody for no reason whatsoever, because even before you saw the person, you expect him to be something different than what you have seen. Like, and people, we have an idea about what everything looked like. We have an idea what a doctor looked like, engineer looked like, a driver looked like. And then when we meet the person that looked different than what we imagined them to be, we may resent them straight away. And I also want to remind people who listen to the program that what I'm saying is not absolutely total facts. This is an observation that I have seen in my work with people and in myself and my relationships all the time. And this subject touches on sensitive, powerful beliefs people carry from the childhood, from their cultures, from religion, from families, and there are, you know, communities that are very difficult for them to change their mind about what they believe is, you know, is right and wrong and things like that.
Sure. Well, thanks ever so much for sharing with us this afternoon, Dr. Usri. So you've been listening to Spotlight Hay House UK with Dr. Manish Usri, alongside myself, Ben Brophy. And Dr. Usri is the best-selling author of Hay House book, Discover Your Hidden Memory and Find the Real You, which is published in 7 languages just in the past 15 months. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to Facebook or you can go to www.essence-foundation.com. So that's essence with the minus sign in between. So that's essence-foundation.com. And there's podcasts, there's audio, there's information on the courses and link to Dr. Manish's Facebook and Twitter and to his best-selling book. So thank you ever so much for your time. We're going to get one parting comment from Manish as we leave, Dr. Usri. So thank you ever so much for listening to Spotlight Hay House UK. And actually, I'd just like to say what a wonderful team sort of we've got with Hay House. And we're actually speaking as we are right here now over in Eastern Europe. And sort of we had some technical challenges. So it's been a pleasure to just be around the wonderful support. And thank you to everyone at Essence and Hay House, both in the States and the UK. So Dr. Usri, just before we leave.
I want to thank you. Her house, they definitely matched my expectations.
No guilt or resentment.
None whatsoever.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next week, same time with Dr. Usri on Spotlight Hay House UK, where we'll be talking about the games we play. So until next week, thanks ever so much for your ears. Have a wonderful time.